and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. We're learning more about the drone attack in Jordan over the weekend that killed three American soldiers. Here's CBS's David Martin.
The U.S. military is rushing additional air defenses to that base in Jordan, which officials acknowledge had not been as well protected against drone attack as American troop locations across the border in Iraq and Syria. Sunday was the first time the outpost, known as Tower 22, had been attacked. The drone came in low and slow shortly after parts of the air defense system had been taken offline to allow a returning American drone to land safely.
President Biden told reporters on Tuesday he has decided how the U.S. will respond to the attack, which a group of Iran-linked militants is now claiming responsibility for. An atmospheric river will move into California this week, bringing back-to-back storms. KION-TV reporter Natalie Gutierrez says officials are getting ready for heavy rain and possible flooding.
Santa Cruz County says that they're preparing for the storm.
Do a lot more preventative and preparedness communication with the public.
The alert warning communication tool is called CruiseAware and notifies people about weather-related events.
Through that communication platform, we're able to message out.
The county says they're clearing culverts and have been working on the creek channels to make sure they're clear of debris.
Now to the latest on an endangered bipartisan immigration bill. CBS's Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
Even after all of these negotiations, if ultimately a compromise package emerges from the Senate, as speakers made clear, it may not get a lot of play in the House, and that is because many members do feel that stricter provisions like what they passed in their package is what should be guiding this process.
President Biden says the bill would give him what he needs to shut down the border. At least four people have died in the sinking of a tourist boat in Cancun, Mexico. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The Goddess of the Sea was carrying 16 tourists and three crew members when it began to sink in rough seas. The captain has now been taken into custody and is facing charges. One of the passengers is reported to be a 2-year-old child. Authorities have not released any of the passengers' identities.
Come on! Happy, happy dance, dance. Happy, happy dance.
There's been a lot of buzz over Sesame Street's Elmo on social media recently. On X, Elmo asked, "How is everybody doing?" The post got a huge response, including from some folks who said they weren't doing so well. They said they're sad or depressed. The account then posted links to some mental health resources and said Elmo has learned that it's important to ask a friend how they're doing. Indeed it is. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. Accurate voting information's been put under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
There's a bill in the legislature to require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Denver Nuggets spoiled the debut of Doc Rivers with a 113-107 win over Milwaukee, but the new head coach says it wasn't the Bucks' defense that failed, it was the offense.
I told our guys, anyone who told you you couldn't play defense, lie. You proved that tonight. I thought tonight was an offensive loss.
In college basketball, a new AP Top 25. Wisconsin moves up this week to number 6 after beating Michigan State. The Badgers face the Cornhuskers in Nebraska this Thursday. Marquette now ranked number 9. after a decisive victory over Seton Hall in Milwaukee. The Golden Eagles are in Villanova, Pennsylvania to take on the Wildcats tonight, looking for their fifth win in a row. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Reese Hoskins, says he's looking forward to spring training next month, coming off a torn ACL last March.
I'll be stoked to get on the field, but just stoked to get down to Arizona and meet with this medical team and put a plan in place going forward.
That's the Brewers' Reese Hoskins with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Plenty of clouds and temperatures will drop to the upper 20s to near 30 degrees. We'll have a light southwest wind developing. Mostly sunny skies will develop on Wednesday, and in the afternoon we'll top out in the lower 50s, which would be a record high for the day. It's 30 at our studios.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, a happier, happy hour. I got my little buddy Dom right here with me in the Bad Radio, 92.7 FM WMDX Studios. Feels good to have you so near and dear, Dom.
Yeah, man, good to be here, Curtie. Thank you.
Feeling the love.
Yeah, man.
Nate as well, lightly screening your calls, and you're welcome to join us in this big hour. But I got to tell you something, Dom, in life, I have seldom, if ever, had a plan B.
No plan B.
I like to burn bridges behind me, salt the earth.
Sometimes in front of you. Who knows?
Occasionally. Sometimes, you know, I just stand in a pool of gasoline and flick matches.
I was in lacrosse. I remember what happened.
That wasn't me. Just for the record. That was not me.
That part wasn't you.
But I can tell you, Republicans need a plan B if Trump is convicted, at least according to Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. So take the advice Crudy will not heed. Find yourself a plan B. Here is what she says. Two juries unanimously found four-time indicted. 91 charges, right, Tom? Jeez, all felonious.
Terrible.
Four-time indicted former President Donald Trump liable for nearly $90 million in total for defaming E. Jean Carroll. He seems not to make a good impression with jurors. He certainly demonstrated his lack of self-control in court. Even with the jury present, given all that, it might be time for Republicans to start considering the very real possibility that his criminal cases could just go as poorly as his civil trials have gone.
Ooh, you think?
Ooh, I absolutely think. Even Republicans determined to ignore reality, including the amount of evidence against him in the January 6th case and the relative ease with which Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg racked up convictions for falsifying business records, might want to think through the consequences of possible convictions. It is long past time for Republicans to face an uncomfortable truth. Trump could very well wind up convicted on one or more felonies after receiving the nomination. What then?
What then?
Better have a plan B, Dom. The Constitution does not bar a convicted criminal, even one already sentenced from holding office. It is hard enough to bar him from the language of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment expressly prohibits insurrectionists and their helpmates from holding federal office. I don't think that will be successful, but she throws it out there. However, polls consistently show that Trump's standing, even among Republicans, would plummet if he's convicted. Now, plummet, I tell you. A recent Gallup poll shows that less than half of Republicans, 46%, are willing to vote for someone charged with a felony, and even lower, 35% are willing to vote for someone convicted of one. One wonders if Republicans understood he already has been charged. Right. Only 21% of independents are willing to vote for a convicted candidate.
Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post continues, even if mega cultists stick with him after a conviction, some Republicans and the lion's share of independents would not. Surely someone in the Republican Party should consider the ramifications of a possible conviction and what, if anything, the party can do instead of running a felon for president.
Who would that be? Rhoda McDaniel? Drop the Romney?
Right.
Because Trump is too offended by her uncle?
Trump and
it's
all...
It's not her that... My point being, decision, when you drop your birth name because Trump doesn't like your uncle, you're not the one with the backbone to stand up
you're
to the
probably band. Not the one writing up and coming up with plan B. Rubin writes, Trump in all likelihood would insist any conviction was rigged. He would vow to win on appeal. Alternatively, he might argue it would be more important than ever to elect him so he could pardon himself. Oh, whether there would be any viable appeal under a self-pardon would withstand a constitutional scrutiny would not faze him or the mega-loyalist. Down-ticket Republicans, sober insiders, and donors could freak out, fearing an election debacle. But without a plan B, Republicans would be stuck with Trump. It's not as if they weren't warned about the possibility that they would be dragged under by a convicted nominee. But Rubin goes on. What could an escape hatch be for the party in case of conviction? Republicans might consider clarifying party rules to provide latitude to shove Trump aside if he is convicted. Elaine Carmack wrote last year for the Brookings Institution that if a candidate dies or is quote-unquote incapacitated after the primaries but before convention, the convention would choose the candidate, turning into what conventions used to be before primaries became dominant. But would conviction amount to incapacity? The party, heavily dominated by Trump loyalists, would have to decide. That is good reason for Republicans with any sense to start thinking now about clarifying what amounts to incapacity. If a candidate dies or is incapacitated after the convention, as Carmack explained, the Republican National Committee would pick the nominee. To save the party, would the RNC have the nerve to knock out a convicted Trump on the grounds that he was incapacitated? That would be a political brawl to end all brawls. Again, a rule clarification now might prevent such angst down the road. In short, unless Republicans come up with a definition of incapacity that would jettison Trump in case of conviction, they face the real prospect of political disaster.
Yep.
Republican voters have been living in denial for years now. They ignored evidence of Trump's alleged criminality arising from January 6th. They dismissed the New York State charges as much ado about nothing. Now that Trump has been indicted and they have seen the judges and prosecutors Trump will face and have learned juries cannot be spun, it might be time to start planning for the very realistic eventuality that he will be convicted. Even if they are convinced he is innocent, surely they understand there is some risk that jurors would not agree. In the month before the South Carolina primary, Nikki Haley, now Trump's sole challenger for the party nomination, should make sure Republicans do not ignore that risk. If she cannot dissuade them from nominating an indicted man with a losing streak in court, perhaps she can at least persuade the RNC to take prophylactic measures to avoid an election debacle. If not, the GOP might face an election wipeout, according to Jennifer Rubin, formerly conservative at the Washington Post.
Do you think the donor class, the base of the Republican Party, will freak out if Trump's
convicted? I think
those
are two separate things. The donor class and the base are two separate things. I mean, come on. So would the base freak out about what?
About a Trump conviction, post or prior to the nominating convention.
I think the donor
class, the RNC in Milwaukee.
I think the donor class, you know, those that are giving the money, supporting the candidate to that degree, would probably freak out a little bit. The base, the pure megas, I'm not clear. You know, as far as, you know, if you view this little party as a cult and Trump is the cult leader, he can do no wrong. Hell, the indictments made him more popular.
Do you remember in 2016 when part of the reason I think that Donald Trump got elected, and I think it was a big part, what was it? It was the blocking of the appointment, even the hearing of Merrick Garland's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Let the people decide. Over and over again, they railed on this. And I think in part that was why Ron Johnson won election over Russ Feingold. Let the people decide. This was a rallying cry for those that didn't find Trump very appealing, let's just say. So here's my question. And I think it's posed in some weird way by Jennifer Rubin here. Would this make him more appealing? Would the people vote for him to nullify and give him the right to pardon himself? Would this bring him out of the woodwork?
I mean, not according to the polling. No, that would not be the case.
And not for independents or Democrats, but I'm talking about
they even literally said less than half the Republicans at 46% are willing to vote for
someone
charged.
She also had to ask the question, are they unaware that he's already been charged?
they may be. Here's another distinction I would make, though.
Like, if Biden was charged, that'd be a big deal. Not Trump.
The base, you know, the Trump megas are going to support him, you know, regardless. But I would think the donors, if you're, you know, kicking out, if you're one of the regular donors to the Republican Party, you're probably fairly aware of how political cycles work. And knowing the math, if you have a convicted, felonious candidate, that is going to blow up the election cycle.
Your money to pay my legal fees.
They know this. They recognize it. I think that perhaps some of those who are just started being engaged in the political process, Donald Trump brought a lot of people out from under the rocks, right? Maybe they're not really dialed into how the whole thing works and what might happen given certain circumstances. And those that have been, you know, more in the smoke-filled rooms and funding these campaigns probably have a better sense of reality as it pertains to a presidential campaign and how things work versus someone who never voted before and, you know, just took down the stars and bars to go out and hang up the Trump flag.
Here's the problem. Lack of courage. Lack of intestinal fortitude. Lack of cojones. They do not have the courage to do what they must and pick up plan B. There will be no plan B. They'll follow the crude example. They will burn with that bridge. They will go down on that bridge. It will be London Bridge falling down around, and it will be perhaps an electoral wipeout. At least that's what I would predict if Trump is indeed the nominee. And then, or even up to, however they accept him as the nominee and he's convicted, yes, I think that would be electoral disaster, down ticket. That's kind of what I'm banking on.
Kind of hoping for that?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if you've noticed. I've expressed it. I don't really hide from the fact that I want to see Donald Trump be the nominee. And I realize that that creates the proposition that theoretically Trump could get reelected. That's scary to me. But I think it creates the far more likely proposition that Donald Trump is out there exposed. He blows up either psychologically, physically.
Or both.
And mentally.
That continues to infect the entirety of the rest of the party, especially down ticket.
I think it's a little too late for a freak out. It's too late. You are without a plan B option. I mean, let's not say that. It's tricky Nicky, bird brain, or bust.
Tricky Nicky.
Bird brain or bust. That's your options. The Republicans will not select a plan B, Dom. They might talk about it, but they can't publicly put it out there because Trump will crucify each and every one of them on the Truthy Social or whatever his platform of choice this week might be. Come back. Devil's Advocates, your favorite platform. A couple of freaks on the radio right here. Devil's Advocates, Tuesday style. Be a part. 844-967-2789. You have no plan B to this fine radio show.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going back to the lines, what's your plan B? 844-967-2789.
I see an interesting headline popped up on my phone. Elon Musk, apparently his $56 billion annual pay plan at Tesla, ruled by a judge as being too rich.
Too rich?
Too much. Apparently, there is too much, and he has crossed that line.
That's $56
billion? $56 billion per annum is apparently too much.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at all he does.
Oh, I know. Look at what a great job he's done with Tesla.
and Twitter. No, but the good news is he put, like, a chip in brain.
I meant Twitter, oh, so meant obviously Twitter. My brain's not working.
And Tesla as well, though. Tesla's having some issues as well.
Are they?
No, no.
A lot of recalls. The self-driving cars, not so great. They seem so great in theory.
And I don't know what the big deal is. You know, Tesla putting Elon Musk putting a chip in someone's brain.
Bulletproof truck. Didn't you see bulletproof truck?
Oh, my God. Listen.
Get me two.
All the vaccines have these microchips. We've been doing this for years, according to the right wing. So, you know, Elon Musk putting a chip in someone's brain is kind of old school now.
It's very confusing. He's kind of gone back and forth between conspiracy theories on what side is he on. Is he not? 844-967-2789. Here's a friend, Trucker Dean, driving around the state. Wistels, how you doing?
Hey, Dean.
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good, thank you.
I think Plan B is in motion, actually, but it's not up front where everybody can see it.
What is it?
Last night when I was listening to, well, give me a minute.
Okay, okay.
He's got to set it up.
Yeah, last night when I was listening to Civic Radio, there was a newscast that said there was a refinery that was going down, and they're expecting by April fuel prices, gas prices, to go up between 35 and 85 cents a gallon. Now,
isn't that the normal?
Is that?
Well, Dean, it's always a conspiracy, man, when the oil companies start sticking it to us, the consumers. But isn't that what they do every season on the seasonal change? Don't they stick it to us, you know, about the time you want to get in the car and take the kids somewhere? Oh, what do you know? Gas prices are up. Happy Memorial Day.
Right. Just in time for summer.
If you guys look around, there's no snow anywhere. There's no snow plowing going on. There's no snowmobiling going on. We should be floating in freaking oil and gas. There shouldn't be a shortage is what I'm trying to say. I guess, yeah, but that could be their plan B.
Just blow up the national economy through the price of gas?
Yeah, blame it on Biden and Democrats, and there you go.
There you go. Damn, that's tricky. They do it often.
I mean, no matter what happens, you know, I don't see anybody out there putting stickers on the gas and it's below, you know, 280. Thank you, Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Come on.
I always feel like it's corporations against us.
Well, I mean, they're
consumers.
They're mandated to make money for their stockholders, Crudy, regardless of what you got to do to do it. And if you got to be around the edges, then you can just, you know, change some laws, put some old lobbying money in, and, you know, maximize those return on investment.
How else would you pay the CEO $56 billion per year without some hefty margins, right?
Right.
844-967-2789. Our friend Mark from the SAC. Welcome back, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, first, the good news, had my scan evaluated by my oncologist today, and I came back clean.
So all right. Nice. Well done.
Party
that's
time.
Good news. And that, and I see Rick Scott is talking about that the voters are rejecting the the new border deal, even though we haven't seen the new border deal yet. And I just think for every time Rick Scott, Mr. 75 times, you know, pleading the Fifth Amendment on his company's defrauding Medicare back 20 years ago now, that
Mark, if I may interject, it wasn't just defrauding Medicare. It was the largest defraud of Medicare in the nation's history, right?
Good thing Correct. He lives in Correct. Florida, not New York State.
Correct. And if I remember right, Romney McDaniel, wasn't she on the phone call arranging the fake electors there in Michigan?
Ah, I believe you are correct, Mark.
She might be facing her own little charges there. So, I mean, that a lot of these guys should get a plan B. And, I mean, that for any principled conservative to still support Donald Trump, to vote for a guy now who has been convicted, albeit a civil trial of rape, that you can't call it anything else other than rape is just beyond me. That,
They claim she's not a credible accuser. I've heard it explained away in so many different ways on right-wing talk radio, on Fox News. They've done just short of defaming her.
Right.
You know, but I've heard right-wing talk radio say effectively she's lying.
You know, this thought of a principled conservative, I never bought it then, and I think it goes now. I don't believe it. Now, there's some folks out there, you know, a lot of these people who have testified, if you call it the J6 or writing these briefs for the Supreme Court, like conservative judge, what Luttig his name is, he also testified sure. during the J6. I mean, there are some principled Republicans out there.
Retired or close to death.
Right? That are speaking out against what Donald Trump and the MAGAs are doing. But your rank and file, principled my ass. Never was. They never were. You could not be principled and cast all those core beliefs aside for an election of a guy like Donald Trump. They weren't the family values party then. They weren't the fiscal responsibility party then. They weren't the law and order party then. They said they were, but their actions over the last 10 years at least shows you that is not, in fact, the case.
Well, my assertion is you can be a real American or you can be a MAGA Republican. But you can't be both at the same time. That is not a Venn diagram. Those are non-interlocking circles.
The whole real American. I mean, man.
I get to choose because I have the microphone.
That's what I'm saying, man.
844.
I don't like it.
At least my criterion is belief in the Constitution and democracy. Can you agree with the standards I've set?
I think, yes, all good Americans should believe in the rule of law and the Constitution and democracy.
Well, that's where we lose the MAGA Republicans. The original Claire. Welcome back, Claire. How you doing?
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Devils.
Hey.
Of course, the Republican Party has a plan B.
What is it?
Okay, pay attention now.
Okay.
Pay attention. Put your hands over your ears. And repeat after me, la, 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 la,
la, la, la, la, la, la. Does that work, Claire? Because my kids tried it when they were young, but they still had to sit in that corner for as long as Mama said.
Right. No, it ain't going to work. They sold their soul to the devil, and they're paying for it now. That's what I say.
I say you're probably right on that.
Thanks, Claire. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's
la, 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 la. You know, just put your head under the covers, you know, hide in the tent. It's fine if you can't see it. If I can't see you, you can't see me. It's all fine. No.
But Trump is like the monster under the bed. And in this case,
the one that licks your feet when your foot's hanging over, creepy.
Always keep your feet covered in the bed.
Oh no, I get too hot.
The monster under your bed, if you cover your feet, you're totally safe. Okay. You can sleep. But if you don't cover your feet, oh my goodness, you're tantalizing it.
You leave your foot out, Trump will tic-tac up. He'll come up on that foot and just lick you right between the toes.
That, or if you live in Alex Jones' neighborhood, you got to watch out because he'll eat
your
ass. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Open for your phone calls, your contributions. They're encouraged. 844-967-2789. What do they say? Great minds think alike.
Audience is our plan B.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. The House Homeland Security Committee has just approved impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Chairman Mark Green.
Without objection, the measure amended during today's markup will be reported to the House in the form of one amendment in the nature of a substitute for the resolution. This concludes the consideration of the resolution noticed by the committee for today.
Political analyst Larry Sabato says cabinet secretaries are almost never the subject of impeachment proceedings.
This is extremely rare, and it's extremely rare for a reason. Secretaries in the cabinet respond to the president. They're appointees of the president. They follow the directives of the president.
CBS's Nicole Killian says a bipartisan border security bill negotiated by senators appears DOA in the House.
You are hearing Speaker Johnson now saying, we believe that this is up to the president, that he should use executive action. They would like to see the president roll back policies to those of the Trump administration.
CBS News Special Report. I'm
enjoying this local program. Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State regulators can force large factory farms to get permits before discharging pollutants, a judge ruled on Tuesday. The Calumet County judge found that the State Department of Natural Resources can force the permits to protect the state's waters. The lawsuit fighting the permits was filed by the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business group. A Dane County judge has tossed a lawsuit challenging a handful of absentee ballot rules. The lawsuit was filed by the Liberal Elias Law Group and argued that rules banning absentee ballot drop boxes and requirements for witness signatures created unnecessary barriers for voters. The judge dismissed some of the group's claims last week, and after saying they were not going to continue to challenge the rules, the judge dropped the case on Tuesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Alma Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Plenty of clouds and temperatures will drop to the upper 20s to near 30 degrees. We'll have a light southwest wind developing. Mostly sunny skies will develop on Wednesday, and in the afternoon we'll top out in the lower 50s, which would be a record high for the day. Right now it's 31.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I will eat your ass.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. Rolling through it. Always appreciate your contribution. Phone lines, 844-967-2789. You can also text in. I'll be sure to include a few of the text contributions between here and the end of the show, Don. But
oh, please do.
I'm happy to note positive news for the president, Joe Biden. Approval ticks up amongst independents, and Dem support grows for President Joe. This, according to the Hill, Dom. I'm going to jump down in the body of the piece because some of the numbers aren't that impressive.
But
I'm trying to make this a happy, positive piece.
Statistical trends right now.
A trend.
Yes, yes, trending well.
Here is what the Emerson College Polling Executive Director Spencer Kimball had to say. Although still underwater, this reflects a positive shift. Additionally, his disapproval among independents has decreased from 52 to 45. Now, his approval ratings are up 4% amongst independents from 33 to 37. It's not a big shift. It's not a huge number, but it's a trend in the right direction. And as he campaigns for another 4 years in the White House, Biden's overall approval rating sits at 42, relatively steady from last month when it was at 41. In the Democratic primary, where Biden faces a handful of long-shot challenger bids, apparently still including Marianne Williamson, although we hear she's contemplating other decisions.
She apparently met with her team over the weekend to decide if she was going to stay in the race.
Nearly three-quarters, or 72% of Democratic primary voters, support Biden as the nominee, up 9 points from December. So he's up 9 points with the Democratic base since December. That's encouraging news. And Rep. Dean Phillips, the guy that apparently won't be included on the Wisconsin ballot.
Oh, we're still figuring that out.
Barring action of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Marianne Williams scored just 4% each. Another 19% of voters are undecided. Biden has successfully strengthened his support amongst Democratic primary voters, with undecided voters decreasing from 30 to 19%, and his share of support increasing from 63 to 72. All trends in the right direction for President Joe Biden. Maybe it's the roadshow, man. He's been out there on the stump talking about his record. I've encouraged these appearances, Dom, especially when he comes to our backyard. We saw him very recently. I did. And then I saw Kamala Harris, just last Monday. And then the president back in Wisconsin this week, Superior. And that used to be a blue hotbed, Dom, a very important part of the state. So, anyways.
A little bit more on
good news for Joe.
It is good news for Joe. Trending is positive. The Rasmussen polling out as well.
They're pretty Republican, aren't they?
That's my impression. They're pretty conservative. They show Joe up to 46%. Now, still underwater, 46-53.
Approval? Okay.
46% approval.
Minus 7.
53% unapproved. Disapprove. So yeah, that's coming from, again, Rasmussen, so you can take it for what that's worth, but yes, that's definitely a move in the right direction.
Do they offer approval, disapproval on the Republican presumptive nominee, Donald Trump? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know it's not the...
No, this is, looks like it's all Biden going back. I'd have to...
Like Rasmussen trash-talking Biden at every poll. We don't ask much about Trump because we have no plan B. No. They have no plan B, Dom. That's the important takeaway from today's show. Republicans. Jeff pointed out he was...
Plan B?
Plan B sounds like abortive care. Republicans aren't going to have... Well, prophylactic abortive care sounding plan B.
Very, very anti-Republican. Prophylactic. Don't even say that to a Republican. They're not down for any of that. So, no, I think you're right. There probably will not be a plan B. But John Nichols over at the Cap Times, of course, he's also at The Nation, points out Biden's approval rating remains low, and his matchups with all but certain Republican nominee Trump point to a tight November race between the pair of candidates, repeat candidates, who are not exactly inspiring to swing voters. But presidential elections are not decided by approval ratings or national polls. They are decided by actual voters in actual states and by the organizations and activists that have the ability to mobilize the base in battleground states such as Wisconsin. Those are the facts on the ground that too often get lost amid the punditry as the election year gets started. And last week, the facts on the ground were strikingly good for Joe Biden, according to John Nichols. And he goes into the details. It wasn't just about the polls. It wasn't about the results from New Hampshire. It wasn't about the Republican primary good for Biden with Trump and Nikki Haley. What mattered, according to John Nichols, what mattered last week was a trip by the president to Northwestern Wisconsin to announce $1 billion in federal funding as part of the infrastructure bill that Biden made a centerpiece of his legislative agenda to replace a 60-year-old bridge that connects Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota. Here's what Biden said at the time. "This bridge is important, but the story we're writing is much bigger than that. When you see shovels in the ground and cranes in the sky and people hard at work on these projects, I hope you feel a renewed sense of pride." And Nichols writes, "This sense of pride is a big deal for Superior, a historic port city that's been hard hit by trade policies, deindustrialization, and the general neglect by Washington in recent decades of working class communities along the Great Lakes." Nichols writes that that neglect has been bipartisan, but has cost the Democrats most severely in a battleground state where four of the past six presidential election contests were decided by less than 25,000 votes.
Oh, I've been doing the math here, Dom.
Yeah.
Superior and the region, again, reading from the Cap Times, our friend John Nichols. Superior and the region around it was once one of the most solidly Democratic and progressive parts of Wisconsin. Throughout much of the 20th and early 21st centuries, the reliably Democratic voting patterns of Northwest Wisconsin communities, such as Superior, were an essential building block for the party's election victories. In 2012, Obama secured 65% of the vote in Douglas County, that's Superior, winning the county by more than 7,000 votes. In neighboring Ashland and Bayfield counties, Obama won 65 and 62%. Everything changed in 16 when Trump pulled the state into a Republican column. In much of his 22,748 vote margin of victory could be traced to a swing towards the GOP in Northwest Wisconsin. Democrat Hillary Clinton barely won a majority in Douglas County with just 50.39% of the vote. Ooh. There was similarly significant drops in support from four Democrats in Ashland and Bayfield counties. In fact, every county in Northwest Wisconsin saw the percentage of the vote for the Republican ticket rise from 12 to 16. Four saw a shift of 10% or more. Eight saw a shift between 5 and 10%. And a region that once sent liberal Dave Obey, you remember him?
I do.
You argued with Dave. Democrat Dave Obey to the U.S. Congress and a caucus of progressive Democratic legislators to the state houses. And now represented by Trump-aligned U.S. Rep. Toxic Tom Tiffany in the House. My characterization. And a growing number of right-wing lawmakers in the state assembly and Senate. I should point out, we're playing out that part of the state right now. Shout out Amory, 1260 AM. Shout out to the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBCH. Biden's trip to Superior was a signal that he intends to fight for the votes and the people in Northwest Wisconsin. And that's a big deal. If Democrats hope to renew their fortunes in 24 and beyond, they have to fight harder for the communities that once supported them. That does not mean that they can afford to neglect the hard work of mobilizing voters in the large urban centers, Dom, in the college towns. That's what we're for down here. Madison and Milwaukee, and have kept the party competitive in recent years. But it does mean that if Democrats want to start winning big again, they got to show up in cities like Superior.
Yeah.
And they got to bring resources, energy, and a vision for economic renewal. Biden checked all the boxes during his trip last week to Superior. And the president still has a lot of work to do to win Wisconsin in November. But a trip to Superior suggests that he knows the recipe for success. First and foremost, Biden has to keep coming back to the campaign in the state before and after the April 2nd Democratic presidential primary, in which he will run without opposition. We'll see. Hillary Clinton failed to campaign in Wisconsin after she lost the 2016 primary to Bernie Sanders. Rolling Stone, we talked about, called that the fifth biggest political blunder of the last 50 years in American history. She and her team presumed that the state would maintain its tradition of favoring Democratic presidential nominees, and she could secure the comfortable winning margins that Barack Obama enjoyed in his first time campaign in 08 and as a president seeking re-election in 12. When that didn't happen, Wisconsin Democrats were devastated and the United States was stuck with a Trump presidency. Biden has always been more respectful than the most national Democrats of the need to campaign in the Badger State. That's why he knew it was important to travel to Superior last week, positioning himself in the right place at the right time to win Wisconsin's electoral votes and the presidency in 2024. So saith John Nichols,
yeah,
our friend at the Cap Times. He's associate editor there, also at The Nation.
Very insightful and I think spot on. And you got to show up, right? We know this. We talked about this. And it's not just showing up. It's showing up and doing something and you know, passing legislation for infrastructure and built, you know, rebuilding this, you know, 60-some-odd-year-old bridge.
You burned a $1 billion bridge.
$1 billion, dude. $1 billion. And Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, was in Milwaukee also last week, bringing like $1 million, several $1 million for some training down there. So showing up with the cash, with the pork, you know, with an effort, with a plan to help is what it's all about. That's what people want to hear. People want to understand. People want to engage. That's how you do it. And it's not about, oh, you know, those up north people or those city people. You know, we're all Americans, Crudy. American.
Excluding the MAGA Republicans.
And
I don't perceive them as Americans.
And a lot, I think there's a lot of commonality, certainly. People want, you know, to have clean water and they want their, you know, have a safety and have their kids have good schools and have a good job. Those, you know, the little things in life that sometimes seem so difficult to achieve. And we sit here, you know, bickering about, you know, the fringes when there's really a lot that we all have in common. And if you're able to deliver on some of these promises, man, maybe someone doesn't like Joe Biden's, I don't know, foreign policy with China. But, you know, if he's bringing $1 billion to help rebuild that bridge, there's going to be a lot of construction workers that are going to be very happy to cash those checks.
A lot of hard hats with Biden stickers on them.
And to further bring this along, why do we see what I perceive to be Republicans wanting to, you know, make the border issue a continued issue, to not solve the problem, to not take Republican senators and their bipartisan efforts to solve the problem or at least, you know, address it in some meaningful ways? Well, perhaps the very same reason why they're out there taking credit for bills that maybe some of them did not support themselves, because they're going to show up and explain it to the people and say, this is what we did. This is what the Democrats did. And certainly bipartisanship, that's great. But, you know, it was infrastructure week every single week under the Trump administration. Joe Biden and the Dems, and with some Republican help, they got it done. And they're out there telling the folks about it and bringing it home.
Infrastructure decade. Mark from Sussex. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hi, Mark.
Thank you guys for taking my call. I just got a comment and then a question for you. You know, talking about him up in Superior. Is that the same Superior facility where he was wearing the hard hat the wrong way?
Might have been.
But here's the question I have for him. But here's the
question. You never wore a baseball cap backwards, Mark. I've seen guys goof around. Perhaps someone put it on his head backwards as a sign of affection.
I think he thought he had it on right. But anyway, my question to you is, Tom, you're all about this. They have no backup plan, no backup plan. What is the Democrats' backup plan if, and I'm not saying or hoping or sure, saying that's going to happen, but what about if Joe Biden isn't there? What's the backup
Kamala plan? Kamala Harris. The vice president is our backup plan.
Zero backup plan on with Kamala Harris. Are you kidding? She's got worse approval ratings than Joe Biden.
Well, I saw her very recently, Mark, and I found her to be quite dynamic. And I know what they say about her on Fox News, but if she was making public appearances constantly, if she was President Kamala Harris, oh, I think you'd see all sorts of support coming for her. I don't think Mike Pence would have had the support that Kamala Harris will.
Hang Mike Pence, that guy?
Yeah, hang Mike Pence.
No, I don't think so.
Not a favorite of his party. I think Kamala Harris is a very dynamic person.
I would agree. And Mark, while you may not agree with it, at least it is a plan B. What are the Republicans' plan B?
Trump will serve from prison. 844-967-2789. Plan B is you call now.
That's what you want. 93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is our last segment of the day, so if you have something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show is coming up next.
If you believe conservatives, at least the Fox News watching kind, the Democratic plan B is Michelle Obama. Yeah. That's what they would say. I would point out...
Are you sure it's not... who's the singer dating the football guy?
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah. Is that the plan B?
She has somehow become embroiled in conservative conspiracy theories. Oh. Something about her and Goodell and cahoots, and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. So, point spread be damned. Yeah. If you believe in Q, you believe that Goodell and Taylor Swift have rigged the Super Bowl for the Chiefs.
Tell it to San Francisco.
Send your money to me. I'm going to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
I swear
to God.
I will place as many of those bets as time permits. Crudy, cash. Send cash.
Yeah, send cash.
844-967-2789. Let's go back to the audience. While there's time, Northwoods Terry, welcome to it. What do you got for us?
Yeah, good show, Devils. I just want to say about stockholders, they don't mind these bloated CEO salaries as long as the stock is going north.
Yeah, that's but I mean, $58 billion, man. I mean, that you could spread that over lots of stock, man. Yeah. I mean, they might like a little bit of that.
How about a stock buyback? You can buy my stock. $58 billion.
right. And Taylor Swift has got the right wing all up in the air.
Why, Terry? What? I don't.
You know. She got 47 seconds of coverage during the AFC Championship game, man.
No.
Life as we know it is nearly over, Terry.
I don't watch the whole pop culture stuff, Terry. But what's your impression? Why are they all revved up about Taylor Swift?
Well, she's come out for Democratic candidates in the past against that Senator Blackburn.
Martha Blackburn. Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's such an obvious thing, but when you target someone, and she's got good security, I think she'll be okay, but when you make her a target, I mean, she's got more power than pretty much any human being in this world. And Donald Trump was like, no, I'm more like than Taylor Swift. He literally came out today talking about the popularity of Taylor Swift.
Oh.
It's worth a Google.
It's terrible. No, it's not. It's not worth it.
Well, if you don't believe me, I'm
no,
just
I
saying.
Believe you. It's just, it's asinine.
844-967-2789. I am much more popular.
I'm more popular. Yes.
And a much better dancer.
I sing way better.
Have you
better.
Seen him do the punch dance where he punches
just,
left and right?
It's just so terrible.
Next on the phones, here's a new one. MC from McFarland, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, MC.
Hey, fellas. I'm just kind of curious what you guys think of why MAGA is not rebranding themselves as the Confederacy Party. That's essentially where they're going and what they seemingly want.
Yeah, but that's
what's your opinion?
A little too much saying the quiet part out loud.
I mean, they did carry the Confederate flag through the halls of Congress.
Well, also to the Trump rally we were at in Janesville at the Holiday Inn Express.
That guy had a Confederate tattoo will go along with his flag.
And he was from Milton, Wisconsin. Yeah. And I interviewed this young guy as he waved his flag and talked about states' rights. And I said, where are you from, Milton, Wisconsin? I said, you know, we were on the north side. You know that, right? States' rights.
States' rights.
844-967-2789. Let's keep moving. Lots of people want a piece of the Devils. Wisco Paul, how you doing, fella?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, I just want to say Kamala Harris is a good plan B. When your plan A is Trump, you got serious issues. And I've said this before on the Devils. It's hard for me to think a law he hasn't broke. And I think Dom said J-map, jaywalking, but I don't know if he hasn't broken that either. Hey,
I suspect he's never broken the law of gravity.
That's true. As far as Taylor Swift is concerned, she's very, very popular. I don't know why the GOP wants to run her in the ground. She has a good name. My understanding, I don't know if this is correct or not, she has registered a lot of young voters. The young voters really like her.
Well, that's why she, Republicans don't like her, because she's a woman empowering other young women. And when they come out and they think about it and they become politically active, Paul, they're not voting for the party that would take away their abortive rights and want to take control of their bodies. So Taylor Swift is probably the worst possible thing.
See, the antithesis of Donald Trump grabbing him by the because when you're a big star, you can do whatever you want, Paulie.
That's so sad, because she really comes across as a good person, and she doesn't want the cameras to pan her all the time. They do that for ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a sad situation when you've got to take somebody like Taylor Swift, a young person who's made it in life. It's not her fault. The media pans on her all the time up there, and you got to run her in the ground.
Well, exactly, Paulie. And, of course, if she was Kid Rock, they'd be lifting her up and claiming how great she was.
Every time Dom and I go to a ball game together, they always put us on the kiss cam. 844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County. How you doing, Rico?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, now I know where I'm going with this. Don, you did it again. But you know what? They really need to team up old Taylor Swift with Bud Light. Oh, my Lord. They would just totally melt down then, wouldn't they?
I would hope she would have better taste than that, Rico.
Oh, man, I like Bud Light. Yeah, I grew up on Bud Light, Rico. Yeah, just,
no.
Yes. Well, you know, back in the day, we had them plastic wraps you could put around the can. She could actually drink whatever she wants. Right. You get those little plastic wraps we used to put around the cans back in the day. But I did want to thank you guys for a very...
Dom still uses, though, here at the workplace. Is that Diet Coke?
Yes, it's Diet Coke.
Or Hams.
I just wanted to thank you guys for another great show. A lot of very uplifting news, especially for the state of Wisconsin coming out tonight, guys. And, boy, I really do appreciate it. And, you know, I was wondering, is Mark and Gary, are they brothers? Just a question I had.
From Sussex?
The Sussex brothers.
I think they're roommates.
Thanks, Rico.
Ma, the meatloaf. Steven from Green Bay, give you like 30 seconds, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, I just want to say about the whole Taylor Swift thing. Republicans' fragile egos can't handle strong women, and that's why they're literally quaking in their boots.
Boom.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Stephen. Well said. Absolutely.
You know, we're playing Taylor Swift right now.
Are we? Is that it?
We are. This is Taylor. Do you feel empowered?
I've heard a little bit when I listen to the pop channels. It's fine.
If you play it backwards, it said, I conspired with Roger Goodell to set up the Super Bowl outcome for the Travis Kelce Chiefs. Mahomes and Mahomes.
Where we go one, we go all.
Thank you all for listening to the greatest radio show ever. Maggie Dawn is next, then Busted Pencils, but I'm not quite clear.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5 The Tap, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the